Well, welcome everybody. How are you today? Hey, listen, the last Sunday of December, so we got to do this. Merry Christmas.
Merry
Christmas. Okay, remember, it's not going to be for another year, so Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Well, please open your Bibles to the book of Luke. And I think the ushers already came down the aisles already, so you should be equipped and ready to rock and roll. Well, listen, I hope you all had a wonderful Christmas. We've had a packed month of activities here at Kumalani Chapel. And if you can remember, all the way back to December 7th, we had our first Christmas service. It was the Women's Advent, led by Linda Ryan. It was unbelievable. About 275 women, almost 300 showed up for that. And we had a myriad of other activities that stretched out through the month, crescendoing on Thursday night at our Christmas Eve services. And what a joyous time. How many of you attended one of the three services? So that's a great majority of you here. And wasn't it wonderful just to hear the truth of the gospel preached in such a simple and understandable way that Jesus is the reason for the season? Amen? Well, listen, I love this time of year, and I really hate to see it end. Everything about it is amazing. I love the songs. I love the decorations. I know you guys have family traditions. I have mine. In fact, I've got my last pair of Christmas socks on right here. Very cool. I've got my Christmas chai right here, the pumpkin spice. It won't be on sale after this week, so I'm kind of disappointed, so I'm going to milk it, okay? And in an odd way, I love all the hustle and bustle. Some people aren't into it, but I really like it. I love going Christmas shopping and thinking about my family and my friends. It's really special. It's a special time. I also love the symbolism that is represented today because of Christmas. Did you know that the tree represents the cross? In fact, a lot of Old Testament scriptures refer to Jesus dying on a tree for us. Did you know that the wreath represents the crown of thorns that was pressed into the head of Jesus as he died and suffered for you? And when you think about the gifts that are under that tree and around that wreath, it reminds me of cherishing and honoring those that you love, just as the wise men cherished and honored Jesus at his birth. All of this representing the greatest gift of all, and that's Jesus and his plan of redemption. And you add to that this thing we call the Christmas spirit. You see, I believe God's spirit rests upon the whole earth in a special way as both heaven and humanity reflect on the day that God changed history. You see, it's that God-breathed awe and wonder factor. You feel it, don't you? And those who don't know God, there's just something special about Christmas. But more importantly, I love the messages that Christmas brings. And thank you, Ricky, for all your preparation this Christmas season, really delivering it for us. We really, really appreciate it. Gang, a lot of work. But I love the... Yes, okay. Jack Hibbs commentary, you got the inside scoop. And I love this, that the story doesn't end by the turn of a calendar. You see, church, Christmas is extremely relevant today, and it continues. Its truth and promises offer guidance to the believer while calling out to the unsaved with a message of hope. And the best part is we get to reap the benefits of Christmas all year long. Long after the tree and the decorations are put away, Christmas still lives on. So here we are. It's our last Sunday of December. And the question is, what will you remember about this season? More importantly, what will you take with you into the new year? And as we peer into our passage this morning, I want to encourage you with a couple of benefits of Christmas that I hope will uplift and encourage you today and throughout the coming year. So let's watch for these as we read our passage from Luke chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse number 8. So follow along with me. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." Wow, what a passage. Let's pray together. Lord, we just thank you for this Christmas message. Lord, we're so grateful, Lord, for what it actually means to us. That God, you thought about us in such a way that you would actually come down to earth in the form of a baby to live among us, to model servanthood, to teach us, to heal us, to encourage us and inspire us. And that ultimately would lead to your sacrifice for our sin. So one day, we'll be in heaven with you forever. It just blows our minds, Jesus. So thank you for coming, Lord. Thank you, God, as we peer back into this story just one more time, that you would illuminate our hearts, you would expand our minds with your truth. Lord, you'd give us clear eyes to see what you're telling us and clear ears, Lord, to hear all that you have for us. And we ask this in your precious holy name, and all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Man, I'm telling you. Heaven in a cup. Now, as we begin to unpack this, it's important to notice the narrative here. You see, this portion of Scripture is described by Luke kind of from an angel's perspective. Joining the cast were also shepherds and the multitude of heavenly hosts, and that's layman's terms for a lot of angels. But what makes this passage so special is it reinforces that this event is supernatural, that it's prophetic, and it's right out of God's playbook. So what is heaven trying to tell us in our passage this morning? Let's tune in and find out. In verse 8 through 10, we find this group of country shepherds living out in the fields, diligently tending their flocks. Then out of nowhere, without notice, the unexpected happens. They are visited by an angel. Let me reread this. It says, "And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid." Here they were. They're out in the fields. They're huddled together, minding their own business. They're under a cool winter evening sky. The fire is crackling. Perhaps they're recanting their day's events, their hopes, their concerns, their needs, their families. Then wham, in an instant, their world is rocked. Wouldn't yours be? This wasn't an everyday occurrence, and I think it's safe to say these shepherds were probably caught off guard, perhaps puzzled, and I know a little on edge. But isn't that how life really is? The unexpected can happen in a moment's notice. Unplanned events can catch us by surprise, can't they? What has you on edge today? Fear seems to be at an all-time high. Our culture is in a state of unrest. Would you agree? The word fear defined means terror, fright, alarm, or panic. It's also described, a little bit more subdued, as worry, unease, and anxiety. Interesting. Those all fall under the category of fear. I was in California the week following the deadly terrorist attacks in San Bernardino. I was on a little business back there for a few days. And I wanted to go and do a little Christmas shopping and see if I can get a few things off of my list. So I go to the busiest mall in Orange County. It's one of the busiest in the country, actually. And I went there at prime shopping hours, at their peak. That's how I like to roll, in the peak. But let me tell you, the vibe was thick. The outside cafes were virtually empty. The mall was sparse, and the few that did venture out were uneasy, sternly alert, and much more vigilant. I know I was. It was like everybody was on a mission. I'm just going to do this one thing. The security guards were extremely watchful. The bummer was that there were very few smiles. And there was this obvious nervous tension in the air. And in that moment, I realized that this was a small glimpse into our world today. You see, church, fear has gripped our society. Many realities of this world have us on edge, and they come from various places, from religious platforms to political, financially, to our emotions, our physical well-being, into our relationships. And then you add to that our day-to-day responsibilities, and we have a lot to shoulder, don't we? In addition, many today are overworked, underpaid, consumed, detached, out of balance with family and fellowship. I think the shepherds could relate here, and I'll give you a little bit more on that in a minute. Team, if we sit idle, our insecurities, our fears, and the pressures of this life, they will overwhelm us. This is why I love the importance of this passage so much this morning. I mean, think about this. The heavens open up. God's representative, an angel, touches down with the glory of the Lord enveloping him. And notice, there were no political dignitaries, celebrities. There was no paparazzi present, no motorcade or fanfare, no pomp and circumstance, no selfies or Instagram followers. Far from it. And the angel's audience, a meager band of misfits out on a lonely field. These shepherds, who at this time in society were culturally considered the lowest of low, barely acknowledged above a leper or a thief. Interesting, huh? But don't you love our God? You see, his ways are just not our ways. Aren't you glad? And I love David's quote out of Psalm 138. He says, though the Lord is on high, he regards the lowly. Isn't that amazing? This verse gives us this great glimpse into God's heart towards us, doesn't it? Although he's God, he reaches down from heaven to meet us right where we're at. I love that. And so it was from this unsuspecting place to an unassuming cast that the greatest announcement in history is proclaimed. And it's from this declaration that we find our first benefit of Christmas. Do you see it? Have you figured it out yet? It's the benefit of assurance. See, it's here that the angel confronts these terrified, worried, and anxious shepherds and puts their minds at ease with this simple statement: do not be afraid. Isn't that good? Kumalani Chapel, do not be afraid. No matter what's going on in your life, whether it's going on in this world or the things that are going on around you, do not be afraid. How important are these words for us? If there is one thing we need as we face our uncertainties today, it's God's assurance, isn't it? Assurance means a promise or a positive declaration intended to give confidence. I tell you, team, so often I just have to go back and just go, Lord, I need your confidence. I need your reassurance. Things are pretty crazy around me. Help me. I'm hanging on. And so the angel doesn't disappoint here. He gives this confidence-boosting declaration like no other, benefiting not just you and I, but all mankind. Friends, no matter where we find ourselves spiritually in this life, whether on a mountaintop, everything's going great, or we're in a spiritually low valley where things seem like they're going terrible, we can turn to this verse often and find the spiritual lift we need. And the angel declares here, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Isn't that good news? For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. I love that. Good tidings actually means good news. So this is good news of great joy for everybody. God shows no partiality here. This is good news for every human being, race, religion, color, gender, rich, poor. It doesn't matter. It's for everybody. You guys, this is big. You need to understand this. This is like winning the lottery, the spiritual Powerball. And guess what? You win. You just do. You see, team, the good news here is Jesus. The Savior of the world has come, our Redeemer. In fact, the name Jesus, if you're not aware, actually means God saves. Isn't that great? And to these shepherds, they were all ears. They were tuned in. Could it be here on this cool winter's night that they were hearing the unimaginable? You mean the one who was prophesied by their Old Testament forefathers, the one whom they were taught about in the temple as young boys, the one Israel has anticipated and hoped for was nearly upon them, their coming Messiah, could he actually be here? Wow. This was a lot to take in. For these shepherds to grab a hold of this incredible moment with all its intricacies, implications, not to mention the utter amazement, it took a lot of faith, didn't it? But this is the reality of the Christian walk that you and I journey on. Just like the shepherds, we too operate on faith, don't we? I love in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, Paul's writing this. It says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Wow. And maybe this is a challenge for you as you think about having assurance in things that you're actually hoping for, but you actually really can't see them. It's a little complicated because it kind of is without Christ. And perhaps you find yourself lacking this assurance that you know you desire and you need. Well, you're not alone. The Bible is full of men and women who were in the desperate need of a spiritual lift from God, and friends, we're sitting all around in this room. We need the spiritual lift often, don't we? And it's here that I'm reminded of this close-knit relationship between Jesus and Thomas. We find this in John chapter 20. Remember our doubting disciple? Shortly after Jesus' resurrection, the word got around that he was alive. Thomas heard this news, but he wasn't convinced. In fact, he held a pretty firm position, and it was kind of negative. He replied, I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, and I put my fingers into them. I won't believe it until I place my hands into the wound of his side. In other words, what he was actually saying is, this didn't happen. I'm not buying it. I'm just not buying it. Well, you know the story. 8 days later, Jesus appeared to Thomas, and I believe he did this for three reasons. First of all, Thomas, right now, at his time in his life, he needed reassurance, didn't he? He had to have it. Who knows what would have happened to Thomas if Jesus didn't appear and grab a hold of him? Jesus, number two, wanted to express his divine care for Thomas, because that's how our Lord is. See, Jesus loved him. And number three, I believe he wanted to reestablish Thomas's confidence in the lordship of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, but also to remind him of the great promises of God. So to seal the deal, Jesus takes Thomas at his words and, as requested, had him physically touch his nail-scarred hands. Thomas, put your finger right in here. This is where that nail went. Thomas, put your hand right here in my pierced side. See that hole? I want you to put it right in here. As if to say, Thomas, I love you. Thomas, I died for you. You don't need to doubt anymore. You don't need to be in fear. You don't need to be uncertain. You see, I got you. I always did, and I always will. Team, that's the personal assurance that we have in Jesus Christ this morning. Did you know that? Did you know that? Do you believe that? Suffice it to say, Thomas wasn't uncertain anymore. Why? Because he encountered the living God. And just like the shepherds, he was reassured. He was spiritually renewed, and I would have to say, probably brimming with a lot of confidence after this point. Well, just as Jesus was committed to restoring Thomas, he closes out their time together with a prophetic statement where he also looks ahead. Jesus is always forward thinking, and at this moment, he's actually thinking beyond Thomas, and guess who he's thinking about? He's thinking about you and I. I love this. It says, because you have seen me, Thomas, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. See, that's the kind of love that Jesus has. Even then, he was thinking of you now. Blessed means, oh, how happy. See, when you know Jesus, you're happy, aren't you? There's a spiritual joy that you really can't quite put your finger on. It. Only God can give it. Well, do you find yourself unsure today? Maybe you, like Thomas, haven't quite grasped this idea of an unseen Jesus. Or your view of Christmas is that it's just a pretty cool holiday. Once a year, I get some pretty neat gifts. Or perhaps you're a believer and your current road has been a difficult one and Christmas has been anything but fun or joyous for you. Your faith is waning. Fear and doubt has its grips on you and it feels like you're barely hanging on. Well, listen, hang on a little longer. We've all been there because Jesus has you just like he had Thomas. You just need to know that. In a few minutes as a church, we are going to bring these concerns and we're going to bring these fears to the Lord in faith. And we're going to pray for his divine assurance. So be looking out for that. Well, this brings us to our second benefit of Christmas. And that's the benefit of peace. And we find this in verses 13 and 14. And it reads, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" Now, no birth announcement is complete without a heavenly choir, okay? And in this case, the ultimate singing telegram. Can you even comprehend the magnitude of this moment? I just don't think it's possible to quite put your finger on it. We can imagine it, but man, this was amazing. So let's try and grasp this scene. It says, "Suddenly a multitude of angels appeared." If the first angelic appearance wasn't mind-blowing enough, they haven't seen anything yet, these shepherds. It says, suddenly heaven explodes again, and this time with the multitude that Scripture tells us. Multitude is not 50. It's not 150. It's not 1,500, but heavenly hosts beyond count, all in worship together. Man, that would have been amazing, wouldn't it? Some theologians believe this included all of heaven's angels, stretched from horizon to horizon in praise to witness the most amazing event in the entire universe, God coming to earth in human form to redeem mankind. Wow. Can you imagine what the angels were thinking? We were just worshiping him at the throne, and now look what's going on. Astonishing, isn't it? And I want you to notice the shift of the message from those verses that the angels is saying. As their voices are ringing out, their praises suddenly shift from this heavenly worship to this earthly promise with a profound message. Do you see it? They sing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." To think of all the possible messages God could have included in their songbook, he chooses peace. This was obviously important for us to hear, or God simply wouldn't have included it. Why? Because God knows exactly what we need. Would you agree? You see, God's heart is for all men to experience true peace. That's why he came. Yet peace is a complicated realization of our world today. Much of our world history is actually the story of conflict. It's pretty amazing. Over the past 3,100 years of recorded history, the world has experienced only 290 years of peace. It's roughly 8%. Within the last century, the UN, NATO, and the European Union have vigorously tried to align the adverse nations for peace, but they've been unsuccessful. Add the rise of ISIS, add the rise of global and domestic terrorism, the concern for national security, and our peculiar obsession with whose lives matter most. And it's safe to say we as humans don't seem to be very good at peace or living at peace with one another. In fact, it appears we're better at disagreeing, fighting, and feuding. It's a sober reality, isn't it? Peace has two distinct definitions. The first is freedom from war, civil strife, and public disorder. The second definition is an undisturbed state of mind, rest, or serenity. Wow, what a contrast. It's almost as if Webster defined the world's definition of peace and then defined God's. I'll tell you, team, I'll take rest and serenity any day. Sounds pretty good about right now, doesn't it? A recent U.S. survey asked the big question, what is your wish for this Christmas season? 4 out of 5, 80% said what they wished for most was peace. And no, this wasn't a beauty pageant survey, because if it was, their answer would have been world peace, okay? I just wanted to make that very clear. I know you were thinking it. In the search for peace, our culture has turned to a mixed bag of secular and mystical pursuits. With the hope of bringing a temporary inner peace, we've even tried golf. But sadly, still no real peace. Hey, listen, don't let those green fairways fool you and all those beautiful trees. The birds flying by, the wind blowing in your hair, the smell of all the beautiful fragrances from the flowers. It's very deceptive. Because all that is interrupted when you have to grab that little white ball, put it on the tee, and try to get it down the fairway straight into that little circular hell hole. Just, ugh! I'm telling you, no peace there. I'm going to get in trouble for that one. Church, may I remind you, this angelic proclamation of Jesus wasn't declaring world peace, but was announcing that the Prince of Peace had come. Let me repeat that. The proclamation of Jesus' birth wasn't declaring world peace. It was announcing that the Prince of Peace had come. Here's the bottom line. The world's condition will not be improving anytime soon. Jesus spoke to this in certainty in Scripture. The real truth is that we're never going to be free of troubles and trials in this life. That's just a reality. But here's the good news. You can still have peace despite your circumstances and your surroundings. Did you know that? It doesn't mean that your problems go away. It doesn't mean that your responsibilities get any less. It just means that you can actually have peace while you're in the midst of all of it. Listen to these assuring words of Christ in John chapter 16. It says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer." Why? "For I have overcome the world." Man, I'll tell you guys, what a great verse. Don't we need this peace that Jesus is talking about? There is so much in our world today vying for our attentions and our affections. And because of this, we need the benefit of God's peace to guard us, to wash over our hearts, to penetrate our minds, and to secure our very souls. Would you agree? In relation to your heart, Jesus said in John 14, he says, "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Wow, what a promise. Team, this peace that Jesus offers goes straight to your heart and will wash over your fears despite any storms that you might be facing or in the midst of right now. For your mind, Isaiah 26 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Team, this peace that God offers will guard your minds as you trust in him in all things. And let the promises of his word, that very book you're holding in your hand today, penetrate and impact your deepest thoughts. It's not fairy dust. We have to take an action step and be into his word. Okay? And your mind will be guarded. Doesn't it start with the mind? I mean, really, the places we go to in our minds, it's unbelievable. In relation to your soul, Paul to the church at Thessalonica, he said, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Wow. Friends, Paul's prayer is that God himself would secure every ounce of your being, every ounce of your whole spirit, and every ounce of your soul as you faithfully commit to him each and every day until he returns and takes you to heaven or you die first, whatever one comes first. And as we're faithful to him, we're sanctified, and he will guard your soul. Church, the benefit of peace, it's not seasonal. Our hearts, minds, and our very souls need the replenishment of God's peace every day. But here's the catch, and hear me clear. We can't have the peace of God if we're not at peace with God. Let me say that again. We can't have the peace of God if we're not at peace with God. Team, the angel's proclamation of good news is part of God's redemptive plan to rescue mankind and showcase this commitment of peace personally to you. And it goes like this. God touched down on earth as the baby Jesus. He was born of a virgin. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He became sin's sacrifice. Then he hung on Calvary's tree, then died in your and my place. Then he rose victoriously on the third day to save us all and give us new life, not just for today, not just for 2016, but for all eternity. Amen? Amen. That's the gift. But here's the question that we all must come to. Do you believe this? Do you really believe this? You see, I hope so, because if not, you will be void of true peace. And you'll be left with a trail of empty pursuits while trying to make sense of your life. And I've seen this time and time again, where 10 years goes by, and then another 10 years goes by, and then another 10 years go by, and I see the same people caught in the same rut, in the same insecurities, and it's wash, rinse, repeat. And they're distressed. They're afraid. They're not secure. But if you do believe these promises, and I hope you do, I really do, and you allow Jesus to be the Lord of your heart, if you allow Jesus to be the Lord of your mind, and you allow Jesus to be the Lord of your soul, it's then that you will experience his true peace. Church, I asked the question earlier, what will you remember most about this Christmas season? More importantly, what will you take with you into the new year? Well, I have a proposition for you. How about you take God's assurance that will replace your fears, your anxieties, and your doubts? Does that sound good to you? How about taking God's peace to replace your chaos with calm and your confusion with mental clarity? You see, team, Jesus came to ensure these benefits for you and I. That was the reason he came. It's just not just a great Bible story, and it is. But see, God had a master plan of redemption, and that's where it started. In an amazing, miraculous way, on that cool winter's eve, from heaven's throne to a lowly manger, Jesus touched down on planet Earth and became our perfect Christmas gift, didn't he? And he gives us exactly what we've always needed. He gives us exactly what we've always desired. The question is, really, will you open that gift this morning? If you do, these tremendous benefits of assurance and peace are yours to keep. These gifts are God's promises that will benefit you each day and throughout your years until that great return of Christ. Well, there you have it, gang. Two benefits of Christmas, assurance and peace. I hope you take serious these two opportunities to incorporate these in your lives. I'm going to invite the worship team up right now. Invite our prayer team to come up as well. We're going to close out in prayer. And we're going to close out in song. But one last time, I want to say Merry Christmas to all of you. Let's pray together. Bow with me. Lord, we thank you so much for this Christmas season And Lord, it's sad to see it go from a calendar. Lord, we love all the things that we do that are fun and exciting about celebrating, Lord, your birthday. And we love all that it represents. Jesus, forgive us when we make it a little too complicated and we forget exactly the reason why you came and the reason for the season. It's always been about you, Jesus. And Lord, beyond all of that, Jesus, you gave us gifts that we can benefit from all year long. Lord, you gave us your assurance in just an amazing way. And you give us peace that's just so beyond comprehension, it's just hard to put our finger on it. And yet they're free. They're free gifts. So we thank you for that, Jesus. And so, Lord, as we just ponder all that you've taught us this morning, Lord, I just want to just pray for those who might be kind of in the midst of the storm right now. Or maybe they're just lacking real assurance in their lives. And if the Lord has spoken to your heart this morning while all eyes are closed, all heads are bowed, if you need, whether you're a believer or not, you need an additional dose of God's assurance in your life, not just for today, but into your tomorrow. Would you just slip up your hand? Just let me see that you raised your hand. Thank you, thank you. Lots of hands everywhere. Do you need God's assurance today? Do you need it? And this might be a duplicate here, but how's your life today? Do you find things kind of chaotic? There really isn't calm or peace in your heart or your mind? And you desperately need to have a break? Well, guess what? In Christ, you'll get that. God's peace will wash over you in such a way that no matter what you're going through, it will calm the storms in your life. If you need an extra dose of God's peace today, would you slip up your hand? Just make that known to God. He sees your heart. Raise it up. I want to see it. Lots of hands. My hand's up too, team. I need God's assurance. I need his peace in my life. We're going to pray about that in just a moment. And maybe today you've heard for the first time about a God that loves you, that God, a God that has a solution for you. And you're saying, yes, I want to accept. I want to get to know this Jesus. I want this gift. If you want to ask Christ to come into your life as your Lord and Savior this morning, would you lift your hand up? I see that hand back there. Praise the Lord. I see that hand over there. I see that hand. Any more? I see that one there. Well, let's all pray together. Lord, we just thank you for this morning. And for those of you who are asking Jesus to come into your lives for the first time, I just want you to pray with me in church. Pray along. This is just a reconfirmation of what you already know. Dear Jesus, I come before you this morning. I recognize that I am in deep need of you today. I need your assurance. I need your peace. So, Lord, I'm taking you at your word today. I'm accepting you into my heart as my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of my sin. Make me brand new. In Jesus' name. Amen. And Lord, I just thank you for these that have prayed this prayer. And Lord, for the rest of us who've recognized that we just need you, that we just have to have you. We need your assurance and your peace in our lives. Lord, would you ramp it up for us this year? Lord, would you give us assurance beyond what we could have ever imagined to know that we belong to you, to know that you died for us, that we have a solid relationship. We have our present figured out. We got our hope in all of eternity. Would you just cement that into our minds today? And Lord, would you cover us with your peace despite our circumstances? Would you do a miraculous work, God? Lord, we need you today. We love you. So Lord, we commit these things to you. We thank you for this final Christmas Sunday of 2015. So we ask this in your precious holy name. And the church said, amen.